You're listening to the Nick Smith Podcast.
Real life, no myth.
Where we talk about myths and misunderstandings
surrounding life, race, faith, and culture.
If you'd like to support the Nick Smith Podcast, rate us on iTunes.
Or you can give through our Patreon.
And don't forget to share this on social media so that all of your friends can know what you're listening to.
We are your hosts, Nick Smith.
And Kylie Jo Smith. And today's episode is called The Benefit of the Doubt.
Why don't we hope for a change? So today's episode comes to us on the heels of one Mr. Benny Hinn. Now, did you ever watch any Benny Hinn stuff?
I did not, but we didn't watch a lot of like televangelists growing up.
Okay, for those of you who don't know, Benny Hinn is a well-known televangelist.
Televangelista.
And he's most well-known for these crazy miracle healings he does. Mm. Like he takes off his jacket and swings it at people and they fall over.
What?
Have you never seen any of this?
No.
Crazy stuff.
And people believe it.
Yeah, because he's got these like amazing suits.
Okay.
And so apparently if you dress nice enough and you swing your jacket, you can heal people.
I did hear that from someone. That's
and
where
it
they
was
got
probably
it.
Benny Hinn. It's probably who you heard it from. But he also is well known for kind of promoting this prosperity gospel.
Yeah.
And something came out this week that I saw and I had to read up on. He actually denounced the prosperity gospel.
Mm.
And so for those of you who don't know what the prosperity gospel is, it is not gospel. It is not good news. It is just this idea that God only wants you to be rich and he only wants you to never be sick. And if you sow into any sort of ministry, God's going to bless you and you just have to say what you want and put Jesus's name on it. And then you get anything and everything you want.
So it goes by other names.
Like
the blab it and grab it.
Ooh.
Or the name it and claim it.
Mm-hmm.
Or what was another one? I heard something else that was like prosperity gospel is something clever and catchy.
Kitschy.
But like all things that are other gospels.
Uh-huh.
The prosperity gospel has roots in scripture. I mean, there is scripture to back it up. With a lot of false teachings, we can find scriptures that can quote unquote back it up.
Yeah.
But it's just a warping of something. So like the fact that God ultimately does want us to be healthy. He does want us to know true riches.
Mm-hmm.
But when we take those truths from scripture and we say, but what that really means is God wants you to look at that Benz and just tell him to give it to
you. And the Lord wants you to have it, because why would he not want you to have it?
And just
Benz?
Tell the cancer to leave your body. Like, it's not 100% the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Because here's the thing. The gospel of Jesus Christ is about getting Jesus.
Right.
Not about using Jesus to get stuff.
Yes.
And so when we start to use Jesus to be a vehicle for which we can just claim all these worldly and fleshly pleasures,
mm-hmm.
that kind of goes against the whole deny yourself thing.
Yeah.
Which Jesus was pretty big on. he even proved it on a cross.
I mean,
kind of his thing.
He did it. He did
like,
that.
Like that's his niche market. But Benny Hinn just kind of came out with this rejecting of the prosperity gospel. Side note, do you know what Benny Hinn's given name is?
Please tell me. I thought his real name was Benny Hinn when you told me about
it. It's just kind of a nickname. I didn't know this until I looked it up.
Oh my goodness.
I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong. Tufik Benedictus Benny Hinn. He's Israeli. I caught his accent. I was like, where is bro from? I don't understand where this accent.
Can you please call him bro if you ever meet him?
If next time I meet Benny Hinn in person, which it hasn't happened yet,
bro,
but the next time, I'll be like, bro, what's happening on them Miracle Crusades though? Because like, I'm trying to get my foot healed. I don't know if my foot will be hurting at that time, but
maybe
it might be. Can I borrow your sock so that my foot can work? Just side note, I wanted you to know his
actual really cool. Benedictus.
Benedictus.
That's crazy.
Tufik.
Doesn't really have the same ring to it, though.
That's Benny. But Benny to me sounds like somebody's little cousin. Like, oh, that's just little Benny over there. Like, when I hear Benny Hinn, at first I thought it was one either like a white dude from the country, like goes by Benny. like Benny Keith.
Okay.
You know, something
okay,
like
yeah.
Benny.
Like a food distributor.
Okay. Yeah. Or like, you know, a brother from the South, Benny. Like, I don't know.
I got you.
It's none of that. It's short for Benedictus.
It is an Israeli.
Yeah, yeah. So,
gentleman with nice suits.
Nice suits and very, very flashy hair.
Oh, yes. He does have good hair.
Oh,
he's got that good hair.
He got that good, that good stuff. But no, so Benny comes out and he says, listen, the Holy Spirit's fed up with this. And I'm going to start telling everybody that I know that preaches this nonsense,
wow,
that they need to stop preaching this nonsense, because that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And when I read the article and I saw his little deal that he put up on, I don't even know where it was, but I saw it on Facebook, and mm-hmm, it was shared by Relevant Magazine. I was like, that's awesome. That's, yeah, really cool that he said that. And,
yeah,
and I think as believers, we need to share in his joy that he found the truth of gospel. But you know what's funny is anytime there's change in somebody, there's going to be haters.
Mm-hmm.
And the prophetess, really a voice of an age,
uh-oh,
once said, haters gonna hate, hate, hate.
Yes.
Hate, hate.
I do remember this prophetess.
I'm not sure, yes, what book of the gospel that's in, but somebody I'm sure can fact check that. But no, anytime there's change, it seems like people are always rooting for it to be false.
Yeah.
Like you, yeah, always have those sideline people that are like, yeah, we'll see.
We'll see how long this lasts.
Yeah, we'll see if that's a real change.
Yeah. Well, happened. What's crazy is not that long ago, I remember reading, I know that I'd heard the name Benny Hinn,
mm-hmm,
you know, growing up or whatever, but I just never watched him.
Yeah.
But I remember hearing his name recently because Francis Chan,
mm-hmm,
there was like a picture or something where Francis Chan was seen with Benny Hinn, like smiling in a picture.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what people do in pictures.
You can't smile in pictures with anyone, just so you know.
Yes. And especially if you're Francis Chan, apparently anyone you take a picture with who is aligned with anything that isn't biblical.
Yeah. You're automatically co-signing on their theology,
yes,
by taking a picture.
And I remember reading people's criticism of that was like, how could Francis Chan possibly take a picture with these people? It's preposterous. Doesn't he know?
But all of their heresy is going to rub off on you in that picture.
And the crazy thing is, it kind of looks like to me that actually Francis Chan may have been influencing people.
May have.
Or maybe just...
maybe the Holy Spirit was working and brought them together. And who knows?
Right.
But
even like something like that, looking at one thing where it's like, oh, wow, like Francis Chan, biblical teacher, solid on, mm-hmm, scripture, is cohorting with or is attending the same conferences as somebody who isn't quite teaching scripture appropriately.
Yeah.
That's really cool because you know what? I would bet at some point the conversation's going to come up.
Yeah.
And it's really cool because, hey, in spite of their differences, in spite of the fact that one of them may disagree with the other or both of them may disagree with each other,
yeah,
they're able to take a picture smiling together.
Yeah.
Instead of looking at that, we're like, whoa, hold on, Francis.
Yeah, and all of a sudden all this speculation comes out,
mm-hmm,
which is crazy because that's exactly what people who aren't Christian do. Like, that
what?
Is precisely
Are
how...
you saying it's worldly?
It is very, very worldly. It's what people do. Like, you see two people hanging out together, like, oh, I bet this is what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I bet looking at these people hanging out. Or you see someone who, you know, goes into a Jamba Juice, be like, oh... they think they're trying to be healthy now. But I just saw him yesterday eating Carl's Jr. First off, why are you watching their eating habits so close?
Right. Get
Second
out of their
off,
life.
Maybe they like Carl's Jr. and Jamba Juice.
You can like both.
Which we have neither in our area. I don't know why those two came to mind.
I don't know, but that sounds delicious.
Maybe I want a burger and some Jamba,
yeah,
Juice. I don't
it
know.
Makes me think of, so I remember at a certain point, and we've all been there, where strife happens in the church or wherever you're,
mm-hmm,
at. I remember there was a Sunday where... you could see people driving by to see who was at church. I mean, like
how silly is that?
Like, because what? Because we have to find something.
Oh yeah.
To criticize. We have to find something to grasp onto,
yeah,
that satiates that desire for flesh.
For gossip, really.
I mean, like, I want to drive by slowly so I can see who's there,
and
because
then I, can try
I need
to speculate
why they're in church on Sunday morning, which is, I think you could probably have a good reason of why they would be
hopefully
there.
Hopefully you would know.
But just anything. It can be the most simple thing, or it can be something with a celebrity, or,
yeah,
you know, it doesn't take much for us.
Well, and I remember experiencing or seeing this happen in church situations with people who have a checkered past, shall we say.
Oh, that's a good word.
A checkered past.
Checkered past.
Being someone who has come out of some sort of trauma or mm-hmm, street life or addiction, and someone sees them at church and they're like, well, what are they doing there? Why are they at church? Yeah. Why is this
person? What do they want?
Yeah. You know they're only going to church because they're trying to get some. Or you know they're only hanging out with this person. And people, instead of hoping that seeing someone in a different light mm-hmm. means that they've changed.
Yeah.
Instead of hoping for that change, people are hoping for destruction. They're hoping that it's a lie.
Yeah.
Because people love to say, see, I knew all along.
Yeah.
I knew the whole time that was fake.
Or one thing we don't want to do is ever admit that we're wrong.
That's right. That we misjudge somebody.
Right. And so even if it's not if it's one or the other.
Yeah.
And so we love to gloat or we hate to be wrong.
Yeah. And we've seen this with the reason we're talking about that is because with the Benny Hinn thing, we've seen so many people, so many believers who say they're Christian, who say they love Jesus. They see someone who has repented of something that they see as sin and have turned towards truth publicly.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of Christians like, yeah, I'll believe it when he proves it to me. Yeah. I'll believe it when he shows up and shows out. I'll believe it when he sends me back that $20 I sent him back in 1962 to get my blessing I never got.
Yeah.
Like we're not hoping that what we hear is true.
Right.
We're actually hoping what we hear is false so that we can then tear somebody down.
Yeah. Or justify our own sin.
Yeah.
Because I mean, just looking at it from my own perspective, which is the only one that I have.
You should look at it from my perspective whenever you can.
But if I look at it and honestly, like those times where I have had that thought,
mm-hmm.
it's masking something that I've dealt with.
Yeah.
That, they're probably not going to fix that. They're probably not really on the up and up because you know what? I'm not on the up and up.
Yeah. And I'm like, hoping other people are like me.
Right. Real recognizes real. Like, oh, well, you only know that. You're only saying that because you believe it. You must only believe it because... Has that been your situation?
Yeah, is that your experience that when you say you've changed, you actually haven't?
Mm-hmm.
And man, we can have such embittered feelings towards people, mm-hmm. Even people we don't know. We can have this embittering feeling because we love to be able to fit people into categories.
Yeah.
And so if we can see someone and we can be like, that person is a prosperity gospel televangelist,
mm-hmm.
or however you say that word, however many syllables you put into televangelist. But then when they change and they start to step outside of that mold and they start to maybe show some repentance, and I'm not going to sit here and co-sign for Benny and be like, well, he definitely had a change of heart. I don't know.
Right.
But what I'm going to say is I hope this is true. I hope this is actually a change in his theology mm-hmm. as he says it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and take his word for it. But when we see people step outside of that cubicle that we've placed them in, we want to hurry up and beat them back into it. No, 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 you can't step out. That's not who you are.
Yeah.
No, you can't be that because I've already painted you as this person.
Yeah, it's a control thing.
Who do we have to lean on if we can't lean on our own understanding?
Oh my goodness.
If I can't frame the world and paint it by how I've already assumed people are going to be, then I have to start like living out grace. And I've got to start like trusting God to bring people out of the miry clay. And
I have to start loving people where they are.
That's weird.
Yeah.
How can I do that? Well, I can't apart from Christ.
Right, right.
It's such a sad moment in the church mm-hmm. when we see people who are repenting of sin mm-hmm. being torn down by the pious believers.
Yeah. When repentance is such a huge part of our faith walk.
Yeah.
We cannot belittle repentance.
Yeah.
And honestly, like I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get the inclination to be like, well, let's see, having been a sinner.
Yeah.
Having been someone who, oh my goodness, all about me, all about what I could go and do for myself and enjoy life for me. I remember when I was in college, this was really before I was walking with Christ. Mm-hmm. Like I knew who Jesus was. I had accepted his death on the cross for my sins, but I did not have discipleship to know what it meant to actually live an active relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. And very well put, by the way. That's
thank you.
Great way to put that.
Thank you. And I was like volunteering. I don't even know how it came up. I was helping out at the church where I kind of grew up in faith. I mean, I didn't start going there until I was older, but helping out with the youth. But I was still so stuck in my own sin.
Yeah.
I was still just so lost. I didn't know. I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I desired for someone to teach me so much that I just jumped into any area that I could serve. And I was like, okay, hey, cool. I can sing. I can help with youth. And there was a point where my sin caught up with me.
Yeah.
Or I don't know who caught up with me, but my sin was exposed. And the people who were in leadership over me asked me to step away from my position there. And one of the things that was said was that I was unfit for ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Which had all kinds of implications for my walk afterwards.
Yeah. Wow. So that was said not as in like right now you're immature in your faith. That was an ultimate.
That was a you're unfit for this.
Which is, I don't know if you understand, that's a judgment.
Yes.
Like that is a passing a judgment, not yes. saying, hey, in your situation, not the right time. You need to grow up.
Right. It's and we want to help you through it.
Yeah.
Because that's how we're supposed to respond to sin.
That's
in
right.
the church. That's how discipline works. Especially when it's like, oh, hey, we didn't know this was going on in your life, and now we know, and we need to deal with that. No, we don't often do that, but that's how it's supposed to be,
yeah,
is that we're supposed to
right.
address it. So so years after that, I remember God got a hold of me. His grace transformed me.
Yeah.
I was given discipleship. I was poured into by people who are older and wiser and had done a whole lot more sinning before me, so they knew about God's grace.
Wow, I'm over here blushing. Are you talking about? I'm just kidding. I know you're not talking about me.
Women. I'm talking about women.
Got you. Got you.
Poured into me and just spoke the word of God over me. Well, I encountered the same people who had been in leadership over me, who had, they had moved on in different seasons of their life. And I reached out in repentance. Knowing now, okay, wait, this was the weight of my sin at that time.
Yeah.
And here's what I need to express, and here's how I need to seek forgiveness. And I had an expectation of how that was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't go that way. I was rejected, and it felt like, yeah, okay, you say that.
Wow.
And it, I'm truthfully, just to put it out there, it was after, I didn't reach out until after we were married.
Yeah.
And had gone into ministry.
Wow.
And it was such an attack at that point on the years of refining that God had done,
yeah,
to where I had battled that unfit for ministry label.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of felt like it was like, no, see, remember? Yeah. You're still unfit.
But you know what God did in that, like that moment. I don't know what word I was going to say. They started with a B. In that bright and shining moment. What God did in that, this is what I was going to say. He was bringing you. I was going to say the word bringing. He was bringing you through people pleasing.
Mm,
because
yeah.
God was telling you right then and there, it doesn't matter if they doubt you.
Yeah.
Because I've said you're fit for ministry.
Yeah.
Who cares what they say?
Yeah.
And all these people, I'm sure Benny Hinsey and all these people like, yeah, right. people sitting back, you know, in their bedside Baptist, sitting back like, I don't go to church.
Shout out to the bedside Baptist listening in today.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. And if you send in 1099,
I'm just kidding. No.
That's a joke. But all these people sitting on the sidelines criticizing.
Yeah.
Like, hopefully, if God has done an amazing work in Benny Hinn's life, that he's not worried about what other people are saying about it.
Yeah.
Because what that does is that focuses us on pleasing man.
Yeah.
And pleasing people. And so just hearing you tell that story, I've heard the story before, but hearing it this time, I was just like, that's awesome, actually, that God allowed you to experience that rejection so that you didn't find your ultimate satisfaction in proving them wrong.
Yeah.
But in finding glory in who God has called you.
Right.
And so that's really cool.
And it was only the start of that. Because
yeah.
Not to say that, oh, I totally mastered that and stopped seeking human approval after that point. That's not the case. But
Amen.
You're right. It was definitely, and even with that subject of people pleasing and seeking mm-hmm. human approval, you talked about putting people in their little boxes.
Yeah.
We don't even have to encounter stories like Benny Hinn for us to treat people like people are treating him.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So like we don't even have to ever know someone in relationship or talk to them for us to already have that mindset.
Yeah.
We can have that mindset about ministries.
Mm-hmm.
Someone says, I'm going to go plant a church. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
And we just totally tear it down before we ever actually get to know what it's about.
Yeah. No, that's good. And a lot of times we treat people and people's situations based on either what we've heard about them mm-hmm. or based on other people's experience or based on a bias that we've been taught. Mm. And so like there are times where we start putting people in boxes and we start treating people with certain levels of judgment
yeah.
based on a hierarchical standard
yeah.
that we don't actually even understand. It's just something we've been shown. Like, well, that person is, you know, that person goes out to clubs or that person drinks or that person smokes cigarettes or that person, whatever box you want to put them in. And then all of a sudden you start treating them differently, mm-hmm. not based on who they are as a person or who they yeah. are in Christ or even how kind they are as a person, mm-hmm. but just based on some weird standard that you've picked up.
Yeah. And this isn't to say that we don't have discernment or that we shouldn't follow the Holy Spirit when he's giving us insight into something.
That's right.
Because there are those times when you may encounter, a situation yeah. where you're hearing the details and it's like, this isn't settling right in my spirit. This yeah. isn't, this not what it appears to be. That's different.
Yeah.
That is receiving the wisdom and direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit.
But even in those moments, you shouldn't receive that and be like, yeah, I'm gonna call bull on all that.
Right.
Like it, you
can, suspicious.
Yeah. You can still receive the information mm-hmm. you're getting, discern, and mm-hmm. then start to ask questions.
Yeah.
You don't have to sit there and be like, yeah, you're lying. You're a liar. So mm-hmm. I'm not gonna listen. Because even in that, you're not even hoping for good.
Yeah.
Like you're still hoping that what they're saying is wrong.
Yeah.
And you're not even receiving the nuggets of truth that may be present.
Yeah. But Pastor, I'm gonna tell you, like,
what's up?
How many times do I have to be let down? Like, how many times do I have to see? How many times, if Benny Hinn, let's say he recants his recanting.
That's I'm a re-recant.
Back, I'm a re-recant. I'm back on the prosperity gospel. Oh, no, I'm back away from it. Oh, no, I'm back on. How many times do we watch someone go through that cycle?
And still hope for the best?
Still hope for the best.
Well, like,
Pastor.
You know, I'm going to come with the pastorate. Well, what Jesus said to his disciples when the disciples said, how many times do I forgive my brother? Seven times?
Right.
Like when they said that, they were coming at him like, man, seven is generous. Like when you think seven, Jesus? Because that's like, they were saying that hoping Jesus would be like, wow, yeah, that's a big number.
And it's a complete number.
Yeah.
They were playing into that.
You know what I mean?
They were playing
like
into that.
They're like, let's throw some holy juju on him real quick. But Jesus like was like, no, what you think is your level of tolerance for nonsense,
yeah,
multiply that by 70.
Mm.
And even then, he wasn't saying, okay, so once you get to that number, then you don't have... He's saying, listen, every day, if somebody does you wrong and repents, forgive.
Mm-hmm.
If they turn around and do it again, forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he isn't saying you shouldn't put like healthy boundaries.
Right.
Like if somebody robs me of my money and then they're like, hey, I'm sorry, I robbed you of your money. I'm not going to give them another opportunity to rob me. But I'm still going to be like, awesome. I hope you never do that again. Still probably won't be walking down a dark alley with you, just so you know.
Not going to leave money hanging out on the counter.
Yeah, the trust is gone, but I'm hoping that you've changed.
Yeah.
So yeah, it doesn't stop because 1 Corinthians tells us that love, this type of love that we're supposed to have as Christians, is agape love,
mm-hmm.
Which is a Greek word for all of you scholars
out
there.
It means agape.
It means wide open. No, that's not what it means. The agape love is that God love, a love that yeah. loves for its own sake, not for anything it gets in return, not for any sort of reciprocation.
It loves out of character,
that's
not
right.
out of situation.
God loves us with agape because he is love.
Mm-hmm.
And we choose, it's the marriage love. It's that mm-hmm. in sickness and in health. It's that it doesn't matter what happens from this point forward, I'm choosing to love you in spite of yourself sometimes, in mm-hmm. spite of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read 1 Corinthians 13, one of the things in that long description of love, which is not a feeling, by the way, but one of the things that Paul says is that love hopes all things.
Wow.
So like in all situation, we're hoping for the good. Now we may experience letdown after letdown,
mm-hmm.
but we're going to hope that every time someone comes to me and says, hey, I'm sorry, I messed up.
Yeah.
Okay. I hope you are. Yeah. I really do. Like not in a, yeah, I hope you are. You ought to be. Not in any of that, but in a like, I really hope this is true. I hope this is genuine.
Yeah.
Because I want to encourage the good in you and I want mm-hmm. to move forward knowing that I did everything I could not to cut you down when you were at your most vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
but to encourage growth in yeah. your character.
And that hope, I love the scripture that says hope does not put us to shame.
That's good too.
Like so often we'll say, you're like, well, I hope that, you know, I really hope almost as if our hope is like wavering. And if we have this hope that eventually it is going to put us to shame.
Yeah.
Like, well, if I hope for the best of this person and then I'm wrong. No, your hope does not put you to shame in that.
No.
Your hope, the hope that we have as believers is eternal, is unending, does not die, does not fail. And so that hope alone, that one that covers all things, that's enough.
Yeah.
That hope that we have. But even in those other situations, those individual things we encounter, we're like, okay, you know what? Because I have an eternal hope, I can see past this sin, or I can see past this person and how I feel about them,
mm-hmm.
to believe that the God who loved me, the God who chose me,
yeah.
the God who daily calls me back to himself is doing the same thing for them.
That's right.
I can hope in him to do that.
That's right.
I don't
That's
have to
good.
Hope that something. I can hope in him to do his will.
That's right. And trusting that Jesus is going to be Jesus for that person, and not that this person has to then clean themselves up. A lot of times what I've experienced in my own walk is like areas that I have seemed to quote unquote pull myself up by my bootstraps. Like
nice.
When I learn a lesson, when I get something like, oh, hey, you know, hitting my head against the wall hurts, I'll stop doing that. I attribute that knowledge to myself. And then when I see someone else doing it, I'm like, well, hey, why can't you just figure it out?
Do it like me.
Yeah. Instead of being like, oh, God gave me that wisdom and he mm-hmm. gave me the ability to apply that. And I'm just hoping that he does the same for you. Instead of being like, well, I'll see if you've actually learned your lesson when you stop being stupid.
Yeah.
I like to lean into that accent sometimes. but here's the truth. And I'm getting this from Bob Goff. If you've never read any of Bob Goff's books, you should. He has two of them out that I know of. One is called
Love Does.
Love Does. And the other one is called Everybody Always.
Yeah.
And what he says in that, he says, when people jump out of an airplane, if their parachute doesn't open, a lot of times they don't immediately die from hitting the ground. Now, it hurts a lot. And some of you out there is like, yeah, right. But what happens is when you hit the ground, your bones shatter.
Mm.
And then because you've hit the ground with so much force, you bounce. And
oh
so then when you land a second time, all your shattered bones pierce all your organs. This is really good. I hope you're eating dinner when you're listening
oh
to this.
Gosh.
And so what he uses this as an example, he says, people don't normally die from the sin in their life. They don't normally die from the initial impact.
Mm-hmm.
What they die from is the bounce. They die from the rejection
wow.
of other people around them. When, when someone hurts and someone deals with something and they say, hey, this is a sin and I'm going to repent from this. And everybody around them is like, yeah, we'll see. I'm not going to hang out with you. I'm not going to try to disciple you through this. I'm not going to love you through this. You've got to prove to me now something. That really is part of what
kills
damages
them.
People's relationship with the church, people's relationships inside the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a believer, as someone who wants to love and wants to hope in all things, we have to try our best to not let people bounce.
Yeah.
And when we see people, it doesn't matter if it's Benny Hinn, it doesn't matter if it's whoever, your child, your grandchild, your cousin, the person down the block who you've been praying for, but you still haven't been hoping in. when you see change, you want to encourage that.
Yeah.
And you want to speak good into that situation. Like, hey, that thing you just did, that's only because of Jesus. You want to call out the good in people's lives.
Yeah. And that's not a new ageism.
No, not
at
all.
That's not to say like, I mean, yes, we recognize that the only good there is Christ. And so we recognize, we give them the language to understand like, you know what? The only way you could do that is because the Holy Spirit was calling you. I'll tell you what, I've seen it work with a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
We have taught our son and our daughter, we're starting to give her that language of the only way that you know this was wrong was because of the Holy Spirit. He gave you that conviction. That's a gift. We need to thank him for that. Even if like I'm frustrated they did something wrong, the fact that my kid can come to me in tears and I haven't said anything, I'm like, that's the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And so we have to give people those tools. Benny Hinn, the only way he can renounce this, the only way we come to true repentance, godly sorrow, is through the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
The only way is through the revealed person of God in Christ.
Amen.
So next week's episode, we are excited to tell you, is called I'm going to try to say it right.
Let's do it.
Spiritualigious.
Spiritualigious.
It's a combination of words. Spiritual and religious.
Oh.
What's that called? There's a word for that.
Combination of words.
There's a real like English.
I mean, everything I said was English. And everything I do is lit, just so you know.
Oh my goodness.
No, spiritualigious. We're talking about the myth of a private spirituality.
Mm.
And
this is going to be good.
Dealing with people and being spiritual versus being religious.
Nice.
Also called spiritualigious.
We're going to get t-shirts.
Ooh, I like that.
We should.
We hope that this has helped to entertain, educate, and empower you to hope for the best in others. We hope that whenever there's a situation where you see change in someone's life, you will encourage the good and give them the benefit of the doubt.
This has been the Nick Smith Podcast. We hope you've gotten a dose of real life.
No myth.
Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Nick Smith Podcast. We are so glad that you joined us, and we hope that you'll consider subscribing so that you can tune in each week. Don't forget to rate and share this podcast. And if you haven't already, follow us on social media. If you want to be a part of our family's mission to entertain, educate, and empower others, please consider becoming one of our Patreon supporters. Exclusive Nick Smith merchandise is available to you through our online store at www.nicksmithpodcast.com.